98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
This is the greatest show.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show
really
that's ever existed.
It really, really
is. In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Ah, yes, the two words that belong together, happy and Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Bartolo Colon Day. This is the anniversary of his home run, the fat guy home run.
You remember how viral that went?
I do. I just read something from baseball writer Jay Jaffe, who pointed out his wife was pregnant at the time, and they ended up naming their daughter Bartola.
Really?
Yeah. They shared the moment together. Yeah.
That's a little much. At least they didn't name her Cologne.
Exactly. Right? I totally agree with that. That would be bad. It's also the weekend. Have you heard about this Chinese rocket that's hurtling toward Earth?
Yeah, the 10-story. It's going to hit somewhere on Earth, and nobody knows where.
Nobody knows where, and I keep reading, oh, don't worry, you've got a better chance at winning the Powerball. This thing's got to fall somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it does have to. Unlike Powerball, there's going to be a loser here.
Yeah, right, that's exactly right. So
Powerball can't guarantee there will be a winner, but somebody's going to lose this. Some area is going to lose this. So there's something to look forward to.
Uh-huh. I'm getting the idea it's really, really weird in space. I also read something the other day that there is so much debris in space now that if it gets worse, people who are in space aren't going to be able to return because that debris just circles.
So they're going to be stuck there forever?
I don't know. That would kind of be a bad deal, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Would it?
It's like, don't know. Start the show, Jared!
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball. Cannonball coming. Cannonball coming.
The Splash. Brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
And we start the Splash for Friday, May 7th. Tonight, the penultimate home game of the regular season for the Phoenix Suns as they host the New York Knicks in downtown Phoenix. Suns coming off their biggest loss of the season, a 135-103 blowout at the hands of the Atlanta Hawks on Wednesday. But they're still 47-19, good for second place in the Western Conference, one game behind Utah. Knicks are 37-29. They're in fourth place in the East and a game ahead of Atlanta to stay in that fourth spot. These two teams, of course, met less than 2 weeks ago in New York, a game the Suns won 118-110, fueled by Chris Paul's 6 points over the last minute and a half of the fourth quarter. Tonight's game gets underway at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage hits the air at 6:30 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports.
Big game.
Kitchen.
Big, big game. All of these games are big games, but you can see what's happening in the Western Conference. And the playoff field is starting to kind of crystallize just a little bit.
Yeah, although it's one of, I think, three big games in the Western Conference on the schedule for tonight. Now, the Knicks not being a Western Conference team, but certainly playing against one. Denver plays Utah tonight, so if the Suns can win and Denver can knock off Utah, Phoenix would be back into first place in the West by virtue of the tiebreaker. Then you got the Lakers and the Trailblazers playing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Those two teams with identical records. The Lakers get blown out last night by the Clippers, 118-94. Paul George had 24 points to lead the Clippers. They're 2.5 games behind the Suns entering tonight's play. Anthony Davis of the Lakers bumped into the scorer's table in the first quarter and was immediately shut down for the rest of the game with what the team called back spasms. Dallas handed Brooklyn its fourth straight loss. The Nets are now 2.5 games behind Philly for the top spot in the East, and another triple-double for Russell Westbrook. 13 points, 17 rebounds, 17 assists. Wizards beat Toronto in overtime, 131-129. But, yeah, Anthony Davis says he expects to play tonight against Portland. They're all out of sorts. Bill Plaschke pointed this out in the LA Times in his column. They're even out of sorts when Anthony Davis has been on the court recently. Mm-hmm. It looked like he twisted his ankle.
I read the team what you said about back spasms, and I also read an amended report that he re-injured an ankle, that he tweaked an ankle last night. Yeah. So I don't know what it is, but Lakers are in some trouble.
They should just put him in a glass case until the playoffs.
I know. Collectively, it's just such a bad look. All these games missed.
Imagine being like an elite athlete, 6'11", 260 pounds, and just being floored by everything.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of what's happening. Yeah, but what you're saying here is it's very, very possible, maybe even probable, that the Lakers fall to the 7th seed by themselves this evening. That puts them in jeopardy. That puts them in the play-in format. And by the way, Vince Murata can explain the play-in format very succinctly.
Oh, I listened to Charles Barkley last night on TNT. So I got Chuck nailed it, so I got it down. The losers play here.
Do it as Chuck.
The losers are here. The mini losers are over here. These play each other.
It was quality television.
Uh-huh.
Seven plays eight. Winner gets the 7 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Nine plays 10. Loser's out. Winner plays the loser of the 7-8.
Right.
There you go.
That's good. Very succinctly put.
I had to read that a million times to get that, but Madison Bumgarner was awesome once again last night. That's the good news. The bad news is the D-backs' bats stayed cold in a 3-1 loss to the Miami Marlins. Bumgarner allowed a leadoff homer to Miguel Rojas and then retired 17 straight Miami hitters before being pulled after 6 innings in a 1-1 game. Then the bullpen faltered again. J.B. Bukauskas came in, gave up 2 runs in the 7th. That proved to be the difference in the game. D-backs managed 5 hits in the loss, and in the 3-game sweep in Miami, they hit 188 as a team and scored a total of 4 runs.
Yeah. Yeah, I read a stat in Nick Pecoro's game story about how bad they were with runners in scoring position, and that'll get you.
Every time.
It'll get you. But the bullpen, once again, Madison Bumgarner comes out of the game yesterday, and boom, game's over.
Yeah. And the pitch count wasn't exorbitant?
No. He got hit on the wrist on a line drive mm-hmm. that came back up the box, and so he was coming up to bat, and I think Torrey Lovello wanted to avoid that because we saw it happen to Zach Gallen hitting mm-hmm. while injured. So,
yeah, which we need more pitching injuries while hitting. D-backs on to New York to start a 3-game series against the Mets at Citi Field. Zach Gallen on the mound for Arizona. Going up against Mets lefty David Peterson. First pitch 4:10. Pregame coverage starts at 3:30 over on ESPN 6:20 a.m. Coyotes playing out the string of the 2021 season. Back-to-back road games in San Jose against the Sharks starting tonight. They'll get underway at 7:30. That'll be on Bally Sports Arizona Plus. Remy Martin made it official yesterday after some speculation that he was toying with the idea of returning to ASU for a 5th season. The guard released a video message announcing he is pursuing his NBA dreams, and he thanked many people over the course of his 4-year career at ASU. Martin was a 3-time All-Pac-12 performer, won the conference's Sixth Man of the Year award as a freshman in 2018, then finishes with 1,754 career points, good for 6th place on ASU's all-time list. Mm. And I'll say this.
All right.
A fun player to watch play. There was some periods during his career where you just wondered what's going on with Remy Martin, but man, the guy was entertaining.
He's a good Sun Devil.
Yeah, very good Sun Devil. And Phoenix Rising FC on the home pitch in the East Valley tomorrow night against Oakland Roots SC at 7:30. That game will be audio streamed live on arizonasports.com. There you go. There's your splash for Friday, May 7th. Tonight, a big game for the Phoenix Suns and their opponent, treating it as a big game as well. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Murata on this Friday, live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
8 seconds to shoot. DA comes to set a screen. Paul dribbles to his left, down to 4 on the timer. Crosses over in front of Randall. Spins in front of him. Now fades away at the buzzer.
Oh.
It's nothing but net. Chris
shot that
Paul
from his hip.
What an unbelievable shot from CP3 falling away at the shot clock buzzer.
That was back on April 26th, the last time the Suns and the Knicks played. That was at Madison Square Garden, and you remember the late-game heroics of Chris Paul, including that shot. The Suns won that game 118-110, and tonight we get part two of Knicks and Suns in downtown Phoenix. You know, in most years, a late-season matchup between the Knicks and Suns would be like just an afterthought, a blip on the NBA map. Tonight, this is going to be an interesting game.
Arizona sports breaking news.
All right, Vinny, before we talk Suns basketball, we have to disrupt the show to bring you the news that there is no fourth date between the couple at the Diamondbacks game. From the dude, quote, Twitter, I'm sorry, there is no fourth date. Sometimes you can meet the right person at the wrong time. At the end of the day, I just want her to be happy. To all the Arizona sports teams, you rock and have a fan for life. I'll never forget the incredibly kind gestures. It isn't you. It's me. See ya!
What does that mean, though? Was he responsible or she responsible?
No, it sounds to me like he is.
Maybe he's in demand now.
Barstool Sports just tweeted out, just said, love is dead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh about this.
There's been times where Jared will get in contact with me. It's, hey, we got breaking news sounder I'm going to hit. And he'll hit the sounder, and I'll look over at you, and you'll be like, wait, what's going on? Uh-huh. Generally, realistically, you got me that time. I had no idea where you were going.
Okay, I bet you didn't think it was there.
Dan Bickley reporting love is dead.
Love is dead. I've already reported that love makes fools of us all. Now I'm reporting love is dead.
I was going to go the total Jay Giles band. Love stinks.
Yeah. Man, and dude, probably could have gotten a Suns game out of it tonight.
I know. Those tickets are in demand.
And then yesterday the Cardinals offered him the pick any date off of our schedule for date number 5.
GCU offered them courtside seats.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't see the Cardinals make an offer.
Yeah, yeah.
Any game on the schedule would at least be September.
Uh-huh.
So you're only allowed one more date between now and September, and then, hey, let's get back together then.
Right. Oh, man, I'm sorry.
All right. Quite the wild ride. I just hope those two kids are okay.
Love is dead. All right. Okay, yes. Phoenix. Phoenix Suns are indeed playing a big game at home tonight. Not a must-win game, but you've only got two home games left. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one and then the one against Portland.
You use that word that I like so much, penultimate, second to the last. It's a big, fancy word for second to the last.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game that I think the Suns need for their confidence. I'm not saying their confidence is shaken. They're not that kind of team. I like what has been said after that loss against Atlanta, but I do think that there's some issues with this basketball team. And the fundamental question is whether they were just tired the other night or if they're tired in general. And Burns and Gambo had a great conversation about it yesterday. And Burns thought that they were just tired in the last game against Atlanta. And Gambo thought, no, this team might be fatigued, deep fatigue. And if it's physical or mental, who knows? Maybe, as Eddie Johnson said, it's just a matter of getting the playoffs here and making these games, locking in the mission, if you will. Mm-hmm. Okay, because the core of this basketball team, the young guys, they were at this for 8 games in the bubble pursuing a playoff berth. They didn't get it, but they went unbeaten. So there was that chase that was among some of these players entering this season. And now they're at the end of the season. Like I said, body clocks in the NBA, probably really weird right about now. And maybe they just need the playoffs to get here. I don't know. But I do think that if you come out tonight, play locked in, beat this team, it'll kind of get everything back on schedule.
Where are you on that scale? Tired in the moment or tired overall?
I don't know. I look at DeAndre Ayton and he looks really fatigued to me. Or like you said, maybe he's playing with some kind of injury. I look at Cam Johnson shooting and I wonder about that. I look at the inability to lock down defensively against lesser teams now, because that's a lot of work mentally and physically. To be honest with you, I don't know. I'm scared, Vinny, as you could tell from our conversations yesterday, that this thing might be getting away from him a little bit. And I hope that's not the case. And so I think tonight's a big game for me to just where I what I feel about this team at this point in time.
Look, I'll feel a lot better answering the question that I just posed to you tonight at 9:30 after we get to see what this looks like for 48 minutes. But I will say this. What we know is that three-game road trip was a heck of a lot harder than I think the Suns even counted on it being. They had to work late into the game to beat a bad Oklahoma City team. They had to go overtime to beat a bad Cleveland team. And I think just the layout of that road trip to have those two games first and then playing by far the best team you play on that trip at home and a team that was really, really playing good basketball, that was the recipe for what we saw. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the Suns did look tired, but that was the second night of a back-to-back. It was the eighth set of back-to-back games that they've had this year. I think there is something to be said about your body clock point. Normally speaking, NBA players, this should be playoff time. It's not. And coming off of a weird year last year, and I think what Eddie Johnson told us about mental fatigue holds some weight, too. Now, it's the charge of the coaches and the players individually to get over that, but let's break this down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns have known, even though they haven't been to the playoffs for 11 years, they have known they're going to be in the postseason for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they're still pursuing the number one overall seed in the Western Conference, but I do think that creeps into the brains of individuals. Man, this is a pretty long grind here. Yeah. Yes, it's 10 games less than what we normally play, but the way this schedule has been smushed together, especially in the second half, I'm feeling it a little bit. Well, it's taking its mental toll on me.
Well, it's been four games a week for 5 weeks, and that's not easy. Not at the tail end of this season, the way it's been. So.
And like somebody like Cam Johnson, who played college, then played a shortened, delayed, weird rookie season, is now sort of playing more games than he's ever played, you know, consecutively. And you could sort of see him wearing down with his shot and stuff.
Well, and that's another thing to consider, too, because he's on the injury report now with the wrist, and he's been wearing a bandage on that wrist. How much has that affected him? Will he be able to go tonight? We shall see. Jay Crowder still out for tonight. On the other side, though, the Knicks are another team. It's taken a leap forward this year, much like the Suns. They're going to be in the postseason. And, you know, a couple of their players shared their thoughts on this game going into it. One, their all-star Julius Randle.
We're confident. We're confident going into it and look forward to the challenge. It's just another notch under our belt to test where we're at. So we're confident. I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great challenge again. And, you know, we look forward to coming out on top.
And here's Nerlens Noel of the Knicks talking about this particular matchup.
I mean, us as a group has collectively had this date circled on our calendar. You know, we know we let one slip in New York, but, you know, we want to come here with the aggression that we need, you know, throw the first punch and, you know, play a full 48 minutes of basketball that we know we can do and keep this West Coast trip going, try to take it game by game, day by day. And, you know, it's a good test for us down the stretch, getting ready for playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about this. I like about this because now the Phoenix Suns surely know that they're being targeted.
Mm-hmm.
Not just by the Knicks, but in general. They're getting teams' best shots now because of who they've become and because they yap a lot on the court. And, you know, so there's that. And I like that. So there's that legacy of this year's team that I think when they start encountering teams for a second time, like the Clippers this year, like the Knicks this year, a lot of the residue from the previous meeting gets folded into that game because the Suns talk a lot. They chirp a lot. Their bench gets into it. And that's good. And it's good for the Suns to know that this game has been circled because that means it's very important to the Knicks. So it feels kind of like, okay, how are you going to deal with this?
Yeah.
I like that.
And
I
mean, maybe not a circling of this date on the calendar since their last loss was 2 days ago, but a team as good as the Suns, they don't want that last sampling to be representative of what they are. They want to turn it around, too. I think it's going to be a fascinating game tonight in downtown Phoenix. You can hear it here 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 pregame on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up next, we're a week removed from the NFL draft and still getting a lot of reaction that's kind of all over the place on the Arizona Cardinals selection, especially their first round selection. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ock Chin Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
With the 16th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Zaven Collins, linebacker, Tulsa.
Oh, he's going to do amazing things. They've got a guy with freakish ability. He's a guy that is long. He's big. He can run. He can move. He can cover. You can bring him off the edge. He can play in the box. He's got a lot of tools in his belt, and he plays with a big chip on his shoulder. And so this is a guy that it's going to have an electric type of career, but he is thrilled to be a Cardinal and excited to get up there and see y'all.
It's the voice of Philip Montgomery, head coach of the Tulsa Golden Hurricane, last Friday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, when he visited with Doug and Wolf. Obviously, you're going to hear comments like that from a former head coach, and some people are on board with those sentiments on how Zaven Collins fits with the Arizona Cardinals. There is a lot of excitement. There's other people wondering just about the fit. And, you know, the initial questions we had on draft night about Zaven Collins and his place with the Arizona Cardinals is, wow, this seems a lot like Isaiah Simmons. This seems like Hassan Reddick. Two situations to varying degrees where the Cardinals really struggled as an organization to pinpoint a spot for those players. And I think we saw growing pains in both instances.
Yeah. I think when I look at the Cardinal defense, if you can project, if this is really true, and you're hearing a lot of people say that Zaven Collins projects pretty clean for a linebacker, a Mike linebacker, meaning that while you can't guarantee anybody is going to successfully make the transition to the NFL, that's the bottom line. You just can't. There are no sure things. A lot of people, talent evaluators, are really high up on his ability, even more so than Isaiah Simmons, which is interesting. What I like about it is we know Isaiah Simmons can run, and he's got good size. Zaven Collins has freakish size. And you've heard me say this for the longest time. There have been times when the Cardinals have been called a finesse team. When it really bothers me is defensively. When you've got a defense that doesn't enjoy hitting, that doesn't impose a physicality and that kind of thing.
Doesn't dominate up front.
Right, doesn't dominate up front. If you don't do those things, there's a really low ceiling to who you're going to be as a defense. Zaven Collins plus Isaiah Simmons in the middle of the field, if Isaiah Simmons can have a really good year this year, and you, like Kyler Murray, if Isaiah Simmons has it in him, you think it would show this year definitely? Because it certainly didn't last year. Had a couple of moments, but that was about it. So I am excited to see what this looks like because he is that big.
I mean, think of that in combination. You have those two guys in the middle rushing. On the ends, you have J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones.
Exactly.
I mean, that's fearsome right there.
And then
there.
You got Buda Baker at the very back.
Yeah, here was...
And Malcolm Butler. So, I mean, now you're talking about a much different defense. And while the offense and the quarterback are really going to be the key to this thing, this defense could be really interesting.
It could be, yeah. Last week, Zaven Collins himself was on with Burns and Gambo after he had his introductory press conference and was asked the question, do you see yourself more as an edge guy or a Mike linebacker?
I saw myself as both, you know, being able to, you know, kind of do everything. And if they want me to just play Mike, I'm more than happy with it. I'm not a confrontational dude. I do what I'm told to help the team. And, you know, those guys are the coaches. Those guys are, that's their job. And so I'm going to do whatever it takes to, you know, make this team better, no matter what position it is. And I'm excited for it, and I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm hoping the Cardinals don't give in to temptation because you hear the attitude, and that's a positive attitude for a player to have. I'll do whatever the coaches ask me to. But that's running. That's run this team into problems in the past. They have to fight the urge, and if they're going with Zaven Collins strictly as a Mike, is he a day one starter? Are they going to, you know, push their one of their team captains, Jordan Hicks, to the bench? There's been some speculation on maybe Jordan Hicks could be released. I don't think that would be the wise move for the Cardinals, quite honestly, going into this season.
Yeah, me neither. And again, it's I was aware that down the stretch, especially that 49ers game, that defense up front, the front seven, certainly did not perform well. I had no idea that Jordan Hicks' grades were that bad, or that the Cardinals might be really looking, might be really, really down on him. From my eyes in covering last season, it was an average year, in my opinion. The back half was bad. The front half was better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall Jordan Hicks as having a really bad season last year. That's from my eyes. But clearly the analytics, especially in the back half, point to something other.
Yeah. About the national reaction, Bart Scott from ESPN, former NFL linebacker himself, he was asked, what player are you most interested to see in this draft class?
I'm going
to
go with the best linebacker in the draft and arguably the best defensive player this draft. I'm going Xavier Collins. Xavier Collins right here is a throwback to Urlacher. He's also a throwback to, I believe, Luke Kuechly. He's the most dominant defensive player that was in this draft. He can affect on every single aspect of the game. He can blitz. He can play great pass defense, and I think that's exactly what they needed in Arizona, because you look at it traditionally, you know, Isaiah Simmons is not a traditional linebacker. This is your thumper. This is your captain. This is the guy that's going to get lined up, and this is the guy that's going to impact the league and going to take it by storm. And in short order, he'll be one of the best linebackers, if not the best, in short order. We see Devin White. We saw David, you know, dominate the Super Bowl. He's next in line.
So,
Steve Keim blew it again. He should have drafted Xavier Collins.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, no, I like what Bart Scott says there. I'd feel a little better if you actually knew who the kid was.
Mike Sando has a piece, too. Executives unfiltered on first-round picks and draft picks from different teams. And a couple of the comments he had in his piece about the Cardinals pick of Collins, one evaluator said, quote, "We like Collins a lot. He's this enormous guy who played off the ball and who can run. We project him to be an edge player on the line of scrimmage rather than off the ball." Different philosophy than the Cardinals have. Another executive said they are in a similar mode in terms of big, fast guys who are versatile. This guy Collins is a little cleaner projection. If Vance Joseph is having his way, he's blitzing a lot and moving guys all over the place. You do get excited when you see this guy because he's so much bigger than everyone else on the field.
Yeah, and that's I like that. The imposing look to this defense. Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, these two big linebackers behind him, Buda Baker, Malcolm Butler. That should make this defense look a lot different. It should make it quite literally hit differently.
Mm-hmm. Quite literally.
Quite literally. Man, this Cardinals defense just hits different.
And yesterday, even having the discussion with James Wiggins, the seventh-round pick out of Cincinnati, and I'd done some reading about James before the interview. I don't know why I felt compelled to read more after we did the interview, but I did. Three-time member of Bruce Feldman's annual Freaks of College Football list.
Uh-huh.
Three straight years. Uh-huh. And they talk just about how...
Once you're a freak, you're always a freak, I guess.
That is true.
You don't become less freak-like.
Yeah.
Sometimes you become more freaky.
Maybe you can. But they pointed out just the strength. He squatted. I mean, people were raving over the fact, and it's impressive, Rondale Moore squatting 600 pounds while he weighed under 175.
Mm-hmm.
It's 120 pounds less than what James Wiggins squatted at his height in college. 720
wow.
pounds.
That's insane.
So, to your point, we have not seen anything resembling results on the field yet, but at least from first reactions,
yeah,
the Cardinals did go a long way into satisfying that need for a little different aggressive attitude on the defensive side of the ball this offseason.
I said it yesterday, and again, if you know anything about football, you first accept the fact that these are only suppositions, that you only can guess if guys are going to make the transition. But once you get past that, I would say that on paper, this looks a lot better to me than a lot of the recent drafts did right after they happened.
Mm-hmm. It's a good way to put it. And we'll find out now soon about, they've laid out dates for OTAs and minicamps, so starting to get more real.
And next Wednesday, you guys said, was the release of the schedule, is that right?
May 12th.
Wow. Big day, man.
Get ready to do your game-by-game breakdowns and predictions that you'll be held to.
Uh-huh.
No changing your mind. Text bonus right now to 620-620 and listen for your name this afternoon at 135 to win $500. That's bonus, B-O-N-U-S, to 620-620. It's the Arizona Sports signing bonus. Coming up next, Madison Bumgarner remains really hot, but where has all the offense gone for the D-backs? We'll get into that and more next. It's Pickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Pickley and Marotta.
3-1, he's got the lead, goes into his line, the 3-2 pitch, and a drive into right. There's Duvall, he's got it. Marlins complete the sweep, beating the Diamondbacks tonight 3-1, and taking the series 3-0.
Inside of our thoughts tonight as we migrate up the coast of New York, I want us to make sure that we properly go over the game and you know, and to make sure that tomorrow we don't fall into the same mindset or the same traps, because for 3 days we didn't play our brand of baseball, and we know that, and it's up to us to get the worm in turn.
Yeah, it was a rough stay in Miami for the Diamondbacks, no doubt about it. They're no strangers to rough stays in Miami. They do not play well, at least in recent years, against the Marlins. We go in against a team that doesn't really have top flight superstar talent, in an environment that is, well, not that great. And I'm being kind there. Mm-hmm. It's empty. You can hear sounds that you don't hear in other baseball stadiums because there's just so little crowd noise there. But it was a domination, basically, by the Marlins.
Yeah, and a lot of this is just the offense that had been so dependable really kind of flattened out against the Marlins. The stat is 2-for-28 with runners in scoring position against the Marlins. Scored a total of 4 runs, hit a .188 with 1 home run. That's just not getting it done. Now, there's a lot of goodness to take away from yesterday's game because Madison Bumgarner has now put together, what, 4 really good starts? Is it 4 or is it 3?
I think it's 3.
Get 3? Okay. Yeah.
He had a good start. He had the no-hitter.
And then yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday, there was a streak of 17 consecutive retired batters. There was a 93-mile-per-hour fastball. There was a negative x-ray taken on his wrist, which was good. And, this is interesting. I really liked his quote afterwards because it sounds like a guy who is calibrated, kind of reworked his stuff mm-hmm. to get back on some sort of winning path. And yesterday his percentage of changeups were up. So basically what I think it is, Vinny, is he's really tried hard not to be a two-pitch pitcher.
This was his fourth. You're right. It was his fourth.
Okay.
Here was Bumgarner after the game talking about how he felt about his outing on the mound.
Same stuff, just going by my feel and moving the ball around and paying attention to their swings and trying to see what they're trying to do. Same thing I've done, you know, my whole career until the last, you know, 15 starts, you know, or whatever I had here before the last handful.
Yeah, but the other thing that you mentioned, the negative x-ray on the wrist after getting hit by the comebacker, here's Bumgarner on that.
It's a little swollen. There's not a great amount of pain. I mean, it's definitely swollen, and you know, but that's pretty much it. It wasn't broken. According to the x-rays that we took and got looked at, there was no fracture, so that's good. I didn't think that it was, but it was worth looking at for sure.
Yeah, but his manager, Torrey Lovello, talked about how it started to change over the course of the game.
No, not necessarily that. He felt okay. The grip strength was good. He was constantly getting tested by the trainers, and he was in good shape. You know, I just felt like I asked him to go up there, one at bat, swing the bat without knowing exactly what was going on, getting x-rayed, without having gotten x-rayed. And he said he felt fine, but I just felt like that next time around with one inning to go, one inning remaining, it was probably the best thing to do to move him out of there. But it didn't tighten up. He was fine. He was fine. That was my decision to make that change.
Yeah, and then they go to the bullpen. Bukauskas comes in the 7th. First batter he faces, hits home run. It's just a different game.
Yeah.
So when you got the combination of an offense that's not performing up to snuff, and we've seen pretty consistent issues with this bullpen in finding rotation or reliability. And earlier this week, Torrey Lovello himself, You could hear the exasperation in his voice talking about, look, I want to trust these guys. Mm-hmm. But they haven't built that trust, and that was a big key in yesterday's loss.
Now, did you mention they're getting Jacob DeGrom? And I also like how Torrey Lovello said that we're migrating up the East Coast like they're a bunch of Canadian geese. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess technically he's correct.
He is, technically.
You just don't hear that word a lot.
No, you don't. You don't. Is that right?
Man, do I hate geese.
I don't know. I had seen maybe a report that DeGrom could go. The Mets haven't announced a starter. They have Peterson today, Lucchese tomorrow, and then an open against Smith on Sunday. So DeGrom might be the guy. Not exactly the guy you want to see if your bats aren't on fire.
No.
Because he'll keep them quiet.
All right, Carlin, I'm going to bite on it. Why do you hate geese so much?
Look, first of all, I hate all birds.
Geese are
the birds. I hate all birds. There's nothing in the world more infuriating than when birds start chirping in the morning, early in the morning. The only thing more infuriating than that is the birds that have the absolute nerve to chirp at night.
It does take a lot of nerve.
This is not your wheelhouse, my friends. You're not supposed to be chirping at night. But geese, when I grew up on Long Island playing golf, all the public golf courses would be overrun by geese and overrun by geese droppings.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd have to, first of all, you'd have to run with your golf club swinging around just to get the geese out of the way. And then you'd have to watch where you walk for like the entire way because of all the geese.
You've had a rough life, Jarrett.
Thank you.
I didn't know that the sound of birds was really that annoying.
Most people would, the first thing in the morning, the sound of birds chirping
is
a joy. Yes.
It's
a fresh start.
Yes, it's a harbinger of a new day.
Tranquility.
Yes, and you can't stand it.
Jarrett wants to reach for his golf club then, too, and start swinging it around.
I have horrible visions while lying in my bed thinking of those birds, and if I were only...
Well, you do know, if you do hit one of those birds with your golf club, it will probably land out of bounds.
I thought you were going to say, if I hit one of those birds with my golf club, my insurance is going to have to pay for it like they did with that guy's.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Plus, if you've ever encountered, there's not that many geese around here, but if you've ever like been eating something like outside, either at a picnic table or like on a blanket or something, and a geese comes at you.
A geese?
What a nightmare. A geese. Anyway, that's my rant on
birds. Yeah, okay, it's okay. I didn't know you felt that strongly against birds.
Don't get me started on seagulls.
How do you feel about pigeons?
Pigeons, not that bad, but seagulls are the worst. Only thing worse than seagulls are the ones that fly over the bay.
Pigeons, not that bad? Even animal rights people don't like pigeons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rats up in the air.
It is true.
This has been Jarrett Carlin on Birds. Have you ever seen the movie Birds, by the way? You probably
I have. The Birds, Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Tippi Hedren, I believe.
You are correct.
All right.
Hedren.
Wow. Wow. That's impressive, you two. That really is. So, takeaway from yesterday, Madison Bumgarner, good. That's a good sign. Because four good outings in a row means he might be out of that bad place. We didn't think, I wasn't sure he'd ever get out of it.
No, but to come out of it in such an extreme opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people that were even being a bit optimistic based on what they had seen from Madison Bumgarner were just, hey, just be serviceable. He's been fantastic his last four times out. Now, the offense was the other key yesterday. There wasn't much of it. Here was Torrey Lovello on that.
Offensively, Pave was great. Three hits. Van Meter, Rojas chipped in with some hits as well. But, I felt like we were going to make a couple pushes today. We didn't. We made one real good one there late, and we couldn't capitalize, and that's the beauty of the game. But we got to find a way to make sure we're ready to play our type of baseball tomorrow once we get into New York.
Yeah, 4:10 first pitch in the opener against the Mets from Citi Field, 3:30 pregame. You can hear it all on ESPN, 6:20 a.m. Coming up, we're getting close to the playoffs in the NBA. What does it mean for the Suns and the rest of the league? We'll talk about it with Amino Hassan next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.